scientific inquirer has been busy. Ancient bones, crumbling ice, a pyramid that refuses to fall down, and a space launch, all before the week is out.
Today, we're covering ground that spans Ebola containment and community trust, pre-Inca coastal migration, Arctic heritage loss, urban inequality in the ancient world, and a few more stops besides.
Let's start with the headlines that put a human face on outbreak response and deep history at once.
The through line here is how hard it is to understand a crisis, whether it's unfolding right now in eastern Congo or buried under centuries of sediment.
And in Congo, the crisis is both medical and social. The Bundibugyo strain has no vaccine, no approved treatment, and the people trying to help are being met with stones.
The Post puts it plainly. Volunteers such as Red Cross worker Vanny Burungi face verbal abuse, stone throwing, and attacks on treatment centers while trying to explain the danger.
That's not a logistics problem, that's a trust problem. And with surveillance already weakened by aid cuts and nearly 1,000 cases recorded, the margin for error is gone.
Experts quoted in the piece say community trust is now as critical as the medical response itself. 3 healthcare facilities were attacked in a single week, including a Doctors Without Borders tent where suspected patients fled after a fire was set.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the world, and about 800 years back, ancient DNA from Peru's Chincha Valley is rewriting what we thought about pre-Inca coastal societies. Turns out they were mobile and interconnected, not isolated.
The study tracked ancestry linked to Peru's north coast, more than 700 kilometers away, and found that migrants held on to distinctive cultural practices, like cranial modification and post-mortem red pigment use.
So not just moving and staying recognizably themselves. That's a coherent community, not adrift.
The same issue also covers melting permafrost, threatening a 17th century Arctic whaler's burial ground in Svalbard, where textiles once well-preserved are now almost entirely gone, and Mohenjo-Daro, where house size analysis suggests the 4,000-year-old Indus city actually narrowed its wealth gap as it grew.
A city that got more equal as it got bigger? Someone should send that finding to a few modern urban planners.
There's also Sri Lankan rainforest foragers who were intensifying plant use thousands of years before farming arrived, which complicates tidy agricultural revolution narratives. And a massive stone jar at Laos's Plain of Jars holding remains of at least 37 people, used across possibly 270 years.
Roman Byzantine domestic architecture in Syria, a pre-Roman sanctuary unearthed by highway work in Italy, the Great Pyramid's earthquake resilience explained through physics, pigeon domestication pushed back 1,000 years by Cypriot bone analysis, Tula burials filling in central Mexico's early urban networks, and China's Shenzhou 23 crew heading to Tiangong. It's a dense issue. Every one of those threads is in the Post. And together, they make the case that the past keeps revising itself the moment someone looks closely enough.
Which is either reassuring or exhausting, depending on how you feel about certainty.
The Ebola story is the one that won't wait. The archaeology can be reinterpreted, but the outbreak is happening now. And trust, once broken, is the hardest thing to rebuild in a crisis.
From Congo to the Andes to a pyramid that outlasted everything, the common thread is really just, what do we actually know and how fragile is that knowledge?
More to come as the digs continue and the data comes in.